Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet. Make him the cutest
that I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips. Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted. And tell him
that his loss. Here's the Sandman. Over
Sandman. Inflation took a great step in the right direction this week as headline CPA data and PPI data came in better than expected. In the right direction, that is. The markets liked it quite a bit. The S&P 500 finished the week up 3.3%, Dow Jones up 2.9%, NASDAQ up 3.1%, and the 10-year yield flat at 2.85%. Oil at $91.90 a barrel was up for the week 3.2%, settling in the year right now at 22.2% on the positive side, and bonds down 8.9% overall. So as we were talking about last week, this week was really important to lay out the future of inflation. And there's a number of things I was looking at. So first, the August numbers we've seen are showing that there's been some pretty legitimate, I'll call it macroeconomic improvement since early July. And we're seeing evidence of that in the market as the signs of inflation are starting to cool down a little bit and earnings season is starting to be better than what was feared. So let's start with the CPI this week, the Consumer Price Index for July. That was flat, and this was a welcome change from all the inflation we've been seeing across all the other data points we've been looking at. As you remember, it started last week. This week, the CPI was the important number to be focusing on. And so we saw it come in 8.5 versus estimates of 8.7. Now, 8.5 is still elevated, don't get me wrong, but the estimates were wrong. They were higher than what actually came in. And that's a good thing because that shows that inflation in some areas, particularly the oil and gas space, are starting to cool down. And that was good. That was a good outcome overall for the market. And the market started to enjoy some upside as a result of that. But remember, this was mainly due to the price of energy coming down, and doesn't mean that things are over because housing, shelter costs, services, food prices, all these things still are elevated and high, as we all know and feel. And so it's just not over yet. Now, that was the first one. The second one that came out this week that I was looking at, and you know, we talk a lot about the University of Michigan. The University of Michigan publishes their consumer sentiment report, and they do a one-year and then a five-year expectation. So the one-year expectation dropped to a six-month low of 5% from 5.2%, and its five-year inflation outlook was up slightly to 3% from 2.9. Remember, as we talked about that, we were looking for anything north of 3.5% on the five-year being a problem. We still are in problem areas when it comes to the one-year. But again, somewhat positive information came from that overall. So again, I'm relatively, optimistic. We're optimistic. We're not overly exuberant because there's more things to come that we're going to be paying attention to. But this week was pretty good, and you're seeing that in the return of the markets, as we talked about here at the top, and that's a good thing. So what could send stocks higher from here? Because again, this week we crossed a important technical aspect when it comes to what I look at. Remember, technically, the price action has to improve for me to get overall optimistic about equities here. Overall, I'm still bearish, let's put it that way, until other meaningful things happen. Right now, we're just sort of turning the corner. Remember, the key resistance level on the S&P for me is 4288. As you'll see, we closed at 4280 this week, so we didn't break that upward resistance level, which overall just signals the fact that we're not out of the woods yet. And so I'm getting the question, you know, what could send stocks higher from here? So sure, this week, investors liked the news we were talking about earlier to to see a greater chance of a what we call a soft landing, the Fed's ability to reduce inflation by raising rates in a relative meaningful way, as opposed to overdoing it. And so the market right now is thinking that the Fed won't have to hike rates as much as they've previously feared because inflation's starting to come under control. That's sort of the evidence is presenting itself to the overall investing community right now. And so we see in stocks, cyclical sectors bounce back this week, and we saw some selling in some of the defensive super cap tech, more traditionally defensive sectors. In bonds, the two-year yield is flat, while the 10-year starting to rise about 20 basis points, still well off the pre-jobs report lows, as markets are selling the long end of the treasury curve. And this is, again, based on potentially better economic outlook from what we've been seeing. But overall, there's still some areas we need to be concerned about. So the price action I'm seeing right now is showing me that it's going to take more for the S&P 500 to move materially higher from here, because at these values right now, at this level I've been talking about, the peak inflation trade is likely fully valued, potentially some might say overvalued. A peak in inflation combined with, say, underinvestment and negative positioning have sent the S&P 500 to the 4,200 level. But that's pretty full in terms of value when you look at the future price-to-earnings ratio that we've been talking about for weeks now. So we're still going to see rising rates, just the question is how big. And we're still going to see an economy that is slowing, but is it going to be overdone? That's really the big question. And so an economic soft landing has to actually appear to push stocks higher from where they are right now. And that means a focus on the data that we're going to see coming out, the inflation metrics as it starts to unfold, continue to unfold, and then also what the Fed's actually saying. And all three of those things have to go right in order to push stocks meaningfully higher from here. So that information is still not out there yet. The market, I still feel, is being a little bit optimistic. And so there's still an area that I want you to pay attention to. All right, let's talk about where things would go from here. So the first half story was certainly about inflation. And I'm going to say the second half of the year is going to be more about growth. And here's why. First, I can't remember a time in my entire career when numerous Fed officials have said, essentially, the market is wrong in its assumption that we're going to get less hawkish raising rates, etc. And perhaps the Fed is wrong, but that's a pretty direct pushback on the whole idea that's underwritten the latest rally. Second, while economic data has been resilient overall, it's still pretty early in the cycle. It hasn't even been 6 months since rate hikes started. And as you know, policy operates on a lag. So it's entirely possible the headwinds on the economy are going to build over time here and slow things down. And we should see this into the fall. And finally, earnings were better than feared, but the second quarter was still a rising economic tide. What's going to happen when rates do slow things down and the momentum stalls? Perhaps earnings will remain resilient, but let's think it might be a little bit too aggressive. And the things that I look at, the two tried and true economic indicators right now are still flashing warning signs. Commodities are down on demand as market prices in the global world are high and limited, as we know in Europe. And the bond market still is pricing in a slowdown as the 10-year and the 2-year overall is negative, and it's been that way for a while. So we need to see all these sort of things sort of work their way out, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, if that makes any sense. Next week, we'll get more information about retail sales growth, and we'll continue to see if any sort of inflation rears its ugly head.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed is not considered your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.